Just over 40 years ago, Philip Roth's frank, sexually explicit comic novel, Portnoy's Complaint, was first published in Australia. What makes the anniversary so significant, though, is that the book, like hundreds of others, was banned in Australia as a publication likely to deprave and corrupt. Anyone found with a copy could be fined or put in jail. In 1969, the young directors at Penguin Books were arrested after they deliberately defied the customs ban on the book, publishing 75,000 copies and shipping them around Australia to an eager reading public. At the time, publishers, authors, radicals and lawyers were all fighting to liberate us from a strict regime of government censorship, plunging Australia into what the Governor-General Sir Paul Hasluck lamented was becoming a permissive society. It might sound strange to us now, but for decades up to the 1970s, the Australian government actively kept a secret list of banned books, a list which ran at various times in our history to 800 titles. Nicole Moore is an associate professor in English at the University of New South Wales in Canberra.
The ban list existed from 1901 as customs kept it as General Order 890, which was circulated to customs officers in their different customs ports around the country, notifying them of when titles were added to it and updated or removed, although that was much rarer. And there was public pressure for it to be released, but it wasn't released until it was published in the Parliamentary Gazette in 1958. So for all those decades, the Australian public didn't know effectively what was on the ban list.
So we didn't know what we didn't know.
That's right, exactly.
But in that period, were civil liberties organisations actively campaigning to know what was being censored by customs?
Yes, they were. Particularly in the 1930s, there was quite a lot of anti-censorship protest and different organisations. The Anti-Censorship League, set up in the mid-1930s, which based out of Melbourne, was very influential, and arguably it did have some impact in loosening the sedition provisions as they were applied within customs and within the Attorney General's Department. They worked very hard around the issues of political censorship in that period, where communist, anarchist and even anti-fascist material was subject to censorship. But nevertheless, there are some obvious cases where it was clear that there were books on the ban list. For example, Huxley's Brave New World or Joyce's Ulysses, texts fated around the world but unavailable here. So it was clear that they were on the ban list, even though the ban list wasn't circulating.
Segment 1.
Just over 40 years ago, Philip Roth's frank, sexually explicit comic novel, Portnoy's Complaint, was first published in Australia. What makes the anniversary so significant, though, is that the book, like hundreds of others, was banned in Australia as a publication likely to deprave and corrupt. Anyone found with a copy could be fined or put in jail. In 1969, the young directors at Penguin Books were arrested after they deliberately defied the customs ban on the book, publishing 75,000 copies and shipping them around Australia to an eager reading public.
Segment 2.
At the time, publishers, authors, radicals and lawyers were all fighting to liberate us from a strict regime of government censorship, plunging Australia into what the Governor-General Sir Paul Hasluck lamented was becoming a permissive society. It might sound strange to us now, but for decades up to the 1970s, the Australian government actively kept a secret list of banned books, a list which ran at various times in our history to 800 titles. Nicole Moore is an associate professor in English at the University of New South Wales in Canberra.
Segment 3.
The ban list existed from 1901 as customs kept it as General Order 890, which was circulated to customs officers in their different customs ports around the country, notifying them of when titles were added to it and updated or removed, although that was much rarer. And there was public pressure for it to be released, but it wasn't released until it was published in the Parliamentary Gazette in 1958. So for all those decades, the Australian public didn't know effectively what was on the ban list.
So we didn't know what we didn't know.
That's right, exactly.
But in that period, were civil liberties organisations actively campaigning to know what was being censored by customs?
Segment 4.
Yes, they were. Particularly in the 1930s, there was quite a lot of anti-censorship protest, and different organisations. The Anti-Censorship League, set up in the mid-1930s, which based out of Melbourne, was very influential, and arguably it did have some impact in loosening the sedition provisions as they were applied within Customs and within the Attorney General's Department. They worked very hard around the issues of political censorship in that period, where communist, anarchist and even anti-fascist material was subject to censorship. But nevertheless, there are some obvious cases where it was clear that there were books on the banned list. For example, Huxley's Brave New World or Joyce's Ulysses, texts fated around the world but unavailable here. So it was clear that they were on the banned list, even though the banned list wasn't circulating.